T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Hour number 3 of the show this morning. Jim Paschke to join us around 8:30. That'll be about a half hour from now. Pat Baldwin, head coach of your Milwaukee Panthers, 9:30. We'll get Rom Dog sandwich in there, too. Rami will lighten things up. Horvath came in here, guns a-blazing, in a terrible mood. Got me in a bad mood. And we can all trace it back to Gary Ellerson, is really what we can do. It was a little angry hour there, last hour. Did it get off the rails, Sam? You can step in at any time and calm things down if you have to.
No, I mean, at sometimes I think, you know, igniting the fire is good for radio, but...
Yeah, but then also sometimes it gets too hot.
I do agree. I think you guys sometimes talk about Twitter a little too much.
Oh, I absolutely. You shouldn't talk about it.
Right.
It's got to stay separate. It's something that you need, but it's got to stay separate. Although, I do want to mention that I think I've made up with Joe on Twitter. He's an Arsenal fan, and I made fun of him, but then I told him I'm a West fan. A West Ham fan, and then he said, well, at least we're both not Tottenham fans. And I think we're going to bond over that, because Tottenham, yikes, okay, rough. So I think we've moved on from that. But this is, you know, this Aaron Rodgers situation, saga, whatever you want to call it, it has taken the joy out of a lot of the offseason stuff that we like at this point. The draft was ruined. The draft was ruined for a lot of us. We tuned into the draft with the thought that Aaron Rodgers could get traded right in front of our eyes. We watched the draft not knowing if Aaron Rodgers would still be a Packer by the end of the night. After waking up being excited for the draft. That's what I'll always remember about that show that morning. It was, what's the best case scenario for the Packers? And I said, oh, take a guy that's going to impact a team right away there, eh? And then what's the worst case scenario? I said, well, gosh, dear, I don't want them to trade out, you know. And then I got a call or two that said, what about trading Rodgers? I thought, where is this coming from? How could you even put that into the environment, into the air, into the ether on a day like this? This is the draft. We got to get ourselves a cornerback. We got to get ourselves some more pass rushers. We need some more big uglies on that offensive and defensive line. This is an exciting day. And then it was all ruined. And the weekend was ruined. And the last 2 weeks have been ruined. And then last night, the schedule comes out. We love when the schedule comes out. We do.
I don't know, man. All these people leaking it and all that kind of
ruins it for me. The leaking is...
People just want to one-up each other and all that. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way.
But I like seeing the finished product.
I do, too. I just wish I could see it all at once.
Agree. I agree with you on that point. But I like seeing the finished product, and I like saying, which away game am I going to go to? Do I go to New Orleans week one? Do I go to Arizona? It's Thursday night. I've been to a Thursday night game. I like it, although it is kind of weird. I want to go to Baltimore, but it's in December. Is that too cold? I want to go to San Fran, but I also don't. Which game do I go to for an away road trip that I've been taking with my buddies for a decade and a half? Which one do we go to? We talk. It, you know, gives us a chance to catch up. We're texting each other last night. And a lot of times we found out, we don't, in our friend group, we don't, like, announce that we're anticipating a baby, that our significant other is pregnant, until we send the email about the Packer trip. Nobody ever says, hey, by the way, text us all. Hey, by the way, my wife's pregnant. We're expecting our first child. Oh, congratulations. We announce it by, all right, here's the game I think we're going to go to. The game in Denver. And then one of the guys on the trip says, oh, actually, we're going to, my baby's due the week before. Oh, your guys are expecting. Congratulations. Yeah, so maybe we go a month later. That's how in our friend group we announce birthing announcements. But we're all in our upper 30s now, mid-30s. So I don't know if we'll have any babies or expect any babies. You never know. You never know. But that's how we announce it in our group. So I love looking at that aspect. I love looking, when are the Packers in prime time? When are the Packers playing on a unique day? When is the London game? When can I get up in the morning and watch games all day? I love the London game. Some of you don't. I like it. I like another game of football. And it's usually, I mean, what is it? It's Falcons, Jets or something? Oh, like that was a big game you wanted to watch anyway? No, it's just, it's more football. It's extra football. I like knowing what the Sunday night matchups are. Patriots, Buccaneers, week 4, Sunday night football. Maybe the most anticipated regular season game since I can remember. I mean, to have Brady play the Patriots again? Is that game in Foxborough?
Yep.
And oh, my God.
To put it in week 4, too, is just genius by the schedule makers, because that gives the Patriots enough time to, you know, see what they got in Cam Newton in year 2. And if they put in Mac Jones for, like, around week 4 and all that, ooh, against Brady.
Ooh, yeah. Just adds, make Mac Jones first start against TB12.
Just adds more fuel to that matchup.
Ooh, yeah. See, I love it all. All of this great stuff that we have. The draft. The schedule. It's all ruined. It's all ruined. I mean, I heard Rami's show promo. We'll take a look at the schedule. With Aaron Rodgers, without Aaron Rodgers. But you have to do it because we just don't know. And the schedule makers themselves, they have braced for this possibility that Aaron Rodgers won't be a Packer. It's kind of, I don't know if I want to say built in there, hidden. But it is built in there that they are giving Green Bay the normal allotment of primetime games for now, and then they're able to get out of it if Rodgers isn't a Packer. They're nationally televised games, okay? And I'm going to not count the afternoon games like on Fox or CBS, because like Packers-Chiefs, November 7th is a Fox game, 325. So what normally these networks do is they like draft which games they want. I'd love to be in that channel or Zoom chat or whatever, but they do. They kind of draft the games that they want. And so Fox probably wanted that one, but then do they not want that one? Because it's either going to be Rodgers-Mahomes or it's going to be Mahomes-Bortles or Mahomes-Drew Locke or Mahomes-Jordan Love. So we don't know. But the Packers, they're nationally televised games week 2 and week 3. When the season's fresh, when the worst they can be is 0-1, 0-2, they've got a Monday nighter week 2 against Detroit. They've got a Sunday nighter week 3 against San Francisco. So you've got your divisional matchup, and you've got these rivalries that have been, you know, the Packers and Niners have had something going on for 30 years. And there's connections there, obviously, Shanahan and LaFleur. So it's an intriguing game, and it's a Sunday night football game. It's not going to get the ratings that Patriots Brady will get. But, it's an anticipated game. These are two iconic brands. But they're in the middle, or the beginning, rather, of the season. The other Sunday night games aren't until week 14 and week 17 against the Bears and against the Vikings. So sometimes you do have these divisional rivalry games. The NFC East has a lot of games late in the season on Sunday night football or Monday night football where the teams might be 5-8 or 6-7, but they're still important games and it's a rivalry game and throw the records out kind of game. So they may stay, but they can also, they're late enough in the season where they can get flexed. So give them the early games and then give them the games that can get flexed. Week 14 against the Bears and week 17 against the Vikings. Both of those games on Sunday night football. Not ESPN, Sunday night football, they can get flexed if the Packers are terrible. Now, if Rodgers is the quarterback, they're going to be great games. Packers prime time, NFC North battles. Could it be Justin Fields week 14? Could it be Kellen Mond week 17? I don't know. I think that situation in Minnesota is a lot more fluid than you might expect. They like him there. The Vikings wanted to trade up for Justin Fields, or they were going to take him if he fell to him, we found out. Or at least that was the report. So the primetime games are early and then late. Now there's two other ones. There's a Thursday night game the week of Halloween. There's a Thursday night game that week, but Thursday night games, everybody plays on Thursday night. And then on Christmas Day, they play on Christmas Day, which put anybody on TV. So they have the put anybody on TV games, or they have the games early, or they have the games that can get flexed out. So we wondered, I think Tony called in with the question from Texas and said, is the NFL, is Goodell looking at some of these games, and does this tinker with the schedule a little bit? It absolutely at least tinkered with what gets put in prime time. I don't know if they readjusted the whole schedule, but it certainly adjusted where the games go on prime time. As far as the schedule itself with Rodgers or with Love, there's some interesting wrinkles to it. The Packers are on the road a bunch through 9 weeks. They're on the road 6 times and only home 3 of those times. They have 1 home game in September and then 2 in October. So a lot on the road to start the season. They open and end the season both on the road. But at the end of the season, there's more games at home. They've got 4 of their last 6 at home. And when you want to be at home is late in the season. Speaking of late in the season, the Packers have a bye week very late in the season, week 13. That's the first week of December. That's got to be the latest they've ever had a bye. And again, there's 17 games this year, so the season goes into January and further into January. They have a game week 18, January 9th. Normally, that last week of games is right around New Year's. The last game now is January 9th. So the Packers still have a lot of these late window games. They still have a lot of primetime games, but they do have the ability to be flexed out, or they're on national TV in spots that are going to be manageable, let's say, if Jordan Love happens to be the quarterback, or God forbid somebody even else. Again, Blake Bortles, the big signing yesterday in that QB room for now, along with my guy, Chad Kelly, and one other dude whose name I have been really trying to commit to memory, and I just cannot. Benarik, it doesn't matter. It doesn't now.
Chase Wolford, John Wolford.
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter now, and it never will. Brandon Woodruff, a name that matters for not just the Brewers, but throughout the major leagues. What he is doing is a run that's pretty incredible. We'll take a look at the Brewers game last night. Your thoughts on their offense. Still struggling. They needed to be bailed out multiple times by the Cardinals last night. And Jim Paschke joining us in about 15 minutes. All coming up here on The Fan. So do I.
Hashtag this station.
You deserve better than that. The highlight that you heard the remix of, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Pablo Reyes scores on a Travis Shaw double. The only reason Pablo Reyes was on base was because Daniel Vogelbach was on base. Reyes pinch running for Vogelbach. Vogelbach on base because there was a third strike that got away from the catcher. And so Vogelbach should have been the third out, gets to first, and the Brewers able to tack on a run. Garcia hits a homer, tack on more runs. And then a couple of innings prior, Lorenzo Cain was able to score because Harrison Bader in center field dropped a baseball. He caught it, and then it got out of his glove. So Cain was able to take up from second, round third, and score. So the Brewers, I wouldn't say... You look at it right away, you look at the score, 4-1. All right, that's better. The offense, is it fixed? No. The Brewers benefiting on some Cardinal mistakes. Craig Counsell, still very optimistic that the offense will break through.
We haven't been great offensively this past week. But we've also... You know, I think we face some guys that throw in the ball pretty good, and just it's one of those spots where you're just we've had guys on base and just not getting that next hit. So it's baseball. I mean, it's baseball, and obviously we'd like to score more runs and keep trying to score more runs. And my goal is to just keep putting pressure on teams. I think we're doing a fairly good job of that and break through one of these times.
So, all right, we'll just keep plugging away at it. We'll just keep trying our darndest, and eventually we will crack that barrier of scoring a bunch of runs. Brewers in action against the Cardinals again today. Game is at 12:40. It is not on, well, when I say it's not on TV, I got to remember that TV is not TV anymore. TV is not TV, and the movies aren't the movies. Like, Netflix is winning Oscars, but Netflix is also winning Emmys. So TV is not just ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS, ESPN, even Fox Sports Wisconsin, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Midwest Sports Channel. It's Fox Sports Net. It's not that anymore. The game will be televised. It just will be televised a different way than a boomer like me is used to. It's going to be on YouTube today. YouTube. Brewers.com or YouTube.com/Brewers. I don't know. Normally when there's a game like this, you just open up YouTube and it's like right there.
Yeah.
Or you search Brewers and you'll be able to find it. So it's on YouTube. So most people now, you might have YouTube. So on your TV, or you might have YouTube TV. So you just turn on your TV and there's YouTube. Or you have a Roku or a Fire Stick and there's YouTube. For, again, a boomer like me, I got to be like, oh, I got to switch the input. Then I got to scroll on the Fire Stick.
Oh, man. You know, I feel bad you have to do this for one game as opposed to all of us who have had to do this for every game.
Well, look, I got cable, man. I'm telling you, I got Bally Sports Wisconsin. I know on my DirecTV when I want to watch the Brewers and Bucks, I just go to 669. And if it's not on, if it's the other game, I turn it up. It goes 669-1. I know. Did I lose you again? Where are you?
I just want to say nice.
Oh, say nice then.
Nice.
669. I know it's there. But today, I'm telling you, whoever, so Plucker's in on the phones for the big show, it'll be him, it'll be TV stations, it'll be people that work at all these different, they're going to get calls. Because no one's getting, people don't know who else to call. They're going to say, where's the game on my net, on my TV? And they're going to call, where's the game? Oh, it's on YouTube. It's on WhoTube. YouTube. Is that on my computer? Well, you can get it on your TV. Huh? Well, do you have a Roku? A what? Do you have a Fire Stick? I have cable. I don't know. I've lived in the same house since I was 1978.
Well, you got what, a PlayStation or an Xbox, right?
A who housey?
You got a game console, right?
Me or the guy I'm doing right now?
We'll just, for example, we'll go with you.
Yeah, I got a PS4.
All right, we'll just
I'm poor.
Take your HDMI cord, take your laptop, your HDMI cord, the one that you plug in to make sure it shows up on the TV.
I didn't set up none of these cords. I had a guy do that for me. Well, should I call hims?
Yeah, it's just watch a YouTube TV video.
YouTube like where they have them cats. Look, I just want to watch the Brewers, okay? Well, why don't you just go to the game? It's at home. And get COVID? No, the protocol, you should be fine. Do I got to wear the mask?
Well, thankfully, you only have to worry about this for probably one or two games in the season. But this one, it's must-see TV because we got Corbin Burnes versus Jack Flaherty.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Pitcher's duel. This might be it. Like Corbin Burnes versus Jose Berríos from earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's on YouTube TV, so good luck. Jim Paschke, he'll join us next. Bally Sports Wisconsin, which I get comfortably every night on channel 661 on my DirecTV system. 12:50 a.m., The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Thanks for being here. Longtime voice of the Bucks. The Brewers. Had a run as a sports director at various stations. He's been in Wisconsin TV for a long time, but not much longer. everybody's heart breaking a little bit when we found out that Jim Paschke was going to retire now with Bally Sports Wisconsin. He joins us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Jim, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. When I first saw this news, obviously we were sad. I've described you as somebody who appears to be nice, and then when you meet them, you know how you meet some people and you think they're nice, and you meet them and they're like, they're nice, but they're like faking it. But you're like genuinely nice. So you can tell, well, even when we meet you, that you're genuinely just a nice guy. So thanks for a couple minutes.
Well, I appreciate that, Bart. It's always great to be with you. I try to be as nice as I can be. I have failed at times.
Oh, yeah, we all do. Even when we try, we all do. But I've appreciated, you know, every time that you've come on with us and being with us now and all the stuff you've done for the toy drive. And then when you donate tickets and then there's like a confusion from the listener. And then I got to email you 700 times to work it out. And you're always just so accommodating. And we've thanked you for that. But you're hanging them up. Let me just make sure. You have the games this weekend. You guys do get a playoff series, right? Is that true?
Yes, we will do the first round of the playoffs, however many games that is. And we're down to one round these days. I think way back when we used to do a couple of rounds before it gets turned over to the network. But now it's round one.
All right, so it's not just the last week of Jim Paschke on the TV. You will get that first-round playoff series. And I want to ask you that and make sure, because I think with your career, you know, I would think that calling all these games for as long as you have, and I watched that video you did with Giannis, which was so great and so cool to see all the times that you guys have chatted with each other and put that out there. You've talked about what you'll miss, and you'll miss the fans, and you'll miss the full arenas, and you've missed that over the last, you know, year and a half or so. But to get now, I think it's going to be up to 9,000 or at least half capacity. To get some semblance of fans again will be good for you guys that are there. And I would think that as you come to the end of your career, you really realize how much the fans have a difference and matter to you calling these games when you've just been calling these games when they haven't been there, and the challenges, Jim, that's brought to you guys the last year and a half.
Well, that's exactly right. When something that I never took the fans for granted, Bart, but when they were gone, it just became more apparent how important that they have always been and will always be. And it will be great to get 9,000 people back in Fiserv Forum for the playoffs. I always talk about the spectacle of sport, and the fans create the spectacle by being part of it and a huge part of it. And the players have missed the fans as well. You saw when fans first came back in small numbers, the players were almost giddy about having people in the arena. They play off of that. They appreciate it. They need it. And it just builds the whole thing into what it is.
How do you, when you're asked the question, I mean, what's the greatest moment of your career? What do you remember the most? How do you even formulate an answer from that? I mean, this is 3+ decades of you doing this day in and day out and calling these games and having, you know, such an awesome job to have. And yeah, at times I'm sure it's work, but you get to be up close with these guys and see just how basketball's changed over the last 35 years. How can you even answer that question?
Well, it's very difficult. There are so many things that I could point to that have been very meaningful to me and maybe to the fans and to certainly the city and the state. But the one thing that I always find myself going back to is a game in 1989. It was the first year in the Bradley Center. I've talked about this before. Second round series, as I recall, against Detroit. The Bucks lost the first three games. Bill Laimbeer bumped into Larry Krystkowiak, and Larry's knee blew out in game three. And the Bucks had 8 players available for game four. There was no way they were going to win the series, and very unlikely that they would win game four. They were blown out of that series in 4 games, but they left every single thing they had. Those 8 players left every single thing they had on the court in game 4. Fred Roberts had over 30 points. I always get confused if it was 31 or 34. But they were swept out of the series, and a full house at the Bradley Center gave them a standing ovation. And that game, that single game, just tied everything together for me on how important effort is and how important a team is to this city and this state when they give the right effort. And I said the other day, it was maybe that moment I knew that Milwaukee would remain my home. I just connected with that, and it's almost emotional for me to remember that night, because it was such a defining moment for me when it comes to the Bucks and the community of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think as we talked to Jim Paschke here, when you take on a job, I mean, you know, in your 20s or 30s, you take on a job and you don't think that this will be the last job I ever have. But you've found a connection with Milwaukee, and you've seen, I mean, so much to, you know, the Bradley Center and the years that they were there. And now I just went to the game on Tuesday night. I sat up. It was that $40 deal where you get a free beer. And I thought the seats were good. So it was fun. But I was at the game, and just being in the Deer District and knowing, you know, what it used to be, what that area is now, and now all the businesses that are coming there. It's just how much that you've seen in that time, and really how important the Bucks, I think, have shown that they are to the city.
Well, I think all sports franchises contribute to their cities and their state. And I'm not ever going to tell you that, you know, you must have these things, but I think cities that do have teams that are involved in the community and trying to do things that help people along the way, in addition to providing wonderful entertainment and competition, really enhance the culture of a city. I always have believed that, and I always will believe that. And you have to put that in proper perspective, and that perspective is different for every single person that lives here. But I do think Milwaukee is a better place because we have professional sports in this city and in this state.
I agree. I think that the most, you know, Milwaukee is a diverse town. There's also, I think the word segregation has been used to describe Milwaukee. There is nothing more melting pot to me. There's nothing more melting pot of everybody that I've ever experienced than it was game 5 against the Celtics a couple years ago. And they had the big TV set out in the Deer District in that plaza. And it was just everybody from all over town. And it didn't matter where you were from the town. It didn't matter anything. You were just all Bucks fans. And I do think that the Bucks right now in Milwaukee, the Bucks are the number one thing that can bring the city together more than anything right now. And I'm including the Brewers. I just think the Bucks right now are at this place where they have the best opportunity to bring everybody together. And that's what I've seen over the last decade or so.
I think that might be the most important thing that a sports franchise or franchises can do for a community. They do bring everyone together, and all of the other issues or problems, if they escalate to problems, are put aside for at least that amount of time when you're together and enjoying an event. And that is irreplaceable to me. I think that is something that we should always look at and remember and be very happy about, that we have that in our community. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that is the one thing that teams bring. You know, maybe not every day it doesn't get to that level, but when it does get to that level, it's phenomenal, and we should always cherish those moments.
Talking with Jim Paschke, longtime broadcaster, I mean, really, and I'm sure a lot of people tell you this, and I'm sure you might like it or hate it, but the really only guy that I know calling Bucks basketball. There's been a lot of good Bucks basketball you've seen. There's been a lot of not good Bucks basketball. Can you find silver linings in the bad periods of play? I would suggest my brother, who I went to the game with the other night, but he is maybe 28 or 29, I don't know. But in high school, he would come down. The team, you know, maybe wasn't that good, but they would come down from Fond du Lac where he went to school, and that's just an hour away. So he comes down, they get cheap seats in the uppers of the Bradley Center. But because they can get these cheap seats, they get like really attached to the team and ingrained. And sometimes even when a team is not so good, you can start to really build a connection with them. I don't know if you've seen a silver lining like that, because it's been 35 years, Jim, and we know it hasn't all been good basketball.
Well, no, of course it hasn't, and those were difficult years. I think there were 12 years without a playoff berth, if I recall correctly. I don't concentrate on that. Every time I sit down, and particularly in those difficult years, every time I sat down to do a game, I tried to, and it wasn't hard for me. I realized that we're doing an NBA basketball game. It's entertainment. The beauty of sport is that you may see something that you've never seen before, and in fact, you may see something that has never happened before. So to me, that's the attraction. There's always a second team on the court that is equally interesting as the home team is. So I never had a problem with the entertainment value of an NBA basketball game. In fact, I think it's one of the great things that you can enjoy in life, and the more people that get a chance to do that, the better.
Is there anything, like, you've been doing the Bucks now for so long, do you wish you would have been able to call more Brewers games or more anything else, or was this the, if you had to script your career, would this have been as good as you could have done it outside of the NBA Finals championship, which you will see this year, but we'll get to that later.
That's a very good question, and the word script just, you know, clarified all of that in my mind. I don't script other than my opens on the telecast, so I can be organized. I don't script anything, and obviously when you're doing a game, you can't script it and shouldn't try to. I don't script my life either. I try to just take things as they come. So, no, I wouldn't change anything. I've really enjoyed how it moved along, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to do Major League Baseball. I started in my life as an usher at a Major League ballpark when I was 14 years old. So getting to do Major League Baseball on television and having the privilege of being put into a no-hitter situation very early in my career was stunningly enjoyable to me. So I've enjoyed all of it. But, no, I would not change a thing. I just let life flow, and that's exactly what I'm going to do in retirement. I don't have plans beyond this season other than to see what happens. And days without agendas are attractive to me, and the pandemic really showed that to me. I was sitting here on March 11th of 2020, and all of a sudden, you know, there were no agendas, and I felt that, and I thought about that, and you know, it was okay. It was good. So we'll see what happens, but no scripts for me, Bart.
How quickly do you, like, develop rapport with the guy next to you? I know for a long time it was Johnny Mack, which my favorite McLaughlin is, you guys, the Bucks would be down like 10 with a minute. The game was never over for him. It was always, well, we could stop here and stop here, and then a bucket here and a stop here. I always love that. But he's been great. The crew you have now, especially Marcus, has been terrific. Do you find instant rapport with these guys when you sit down next to them, or how long does that usually take for you?
Well, that again is a non-scripted situation. You just have to take that as it happens. But when I sit down with somebody new, and I've worked with a few people over my Bucks career, there's been six or seven people that I've worked with, I think, not all for long periods of time, but I just sit down, and my job is to make the other person comfortable, give them time to do what they do. And I think that's probably what leads to, you know, a working relationship. And then you have to like the people. I haven't worked with one person that I haven't liked, and that helps a great deal, obviously. But I just give them room, and I let them know that it's about their job. You know, television is about the analyst more than the play-by-play guy, because you can see we have to caption what's going on if we're good at it, and we try to do that. But the analyst is the one who teaches me every night and teaches the audience and the viewer every night. So that's my mindset when I try to work with someone, and it's worked out pretty well, I think. I hope.
What makes talking to Jim Paschke, longtime voice of the Bucks, what makes your relationship, and we just get to see bits of it with Giannis, but what makes that so much more special than maybe the relationship you've developed with some of the other players that have come through Milwaukee?
Well, I never attempted to develop anything more than professional relationships, because I think it gets a little dicey and a little messy when that happens. You know, if I were really, really close to all of these players, think how many friendships, the friendships would still be there, but think of how difficult it would be to have people moving away all the time. And, you know, I kept the buffer because I think that it's just more professional. And when a player's having a bad night, I can't act like I don't see that. I have to talk about it. And so I've always kept that buffer. I don't get real close to players. It's been I've had very good relationships with most of them, all of them, really. But it's always been on a professional level. And then all of a sudden, this little 18-year-old kid, and little is true. He was not the way he is today, obviously. But Giannis shows up from Greece. And I don't know. I can't explain it. We just kind of click together. We sit down. And for some reason, you know, he's an old soul and has some great ideas. And his outlook on life comes from his story and where he started from and where his family started from. I mean, my goodness, Disney's making a movie about that story. So it's a great story. I appreciated that. And, you know, we have similar views on a lot of things, how you apply yourself in life, how you treat other people. When Giannis gives away a pair of shoes after a game, it melts me every time because I remember every time that he and Thanasis had to share a pair of shoes to play the game. One would play, take off the shoes. The other would put the shoes on and go into the game. And now Giannis is touching young people almost every night in a way that they will never forget. So things that I appreciate. And I think those are the things that maybe tied us together. And he said recently, and I wasn't aware of this, that he even thought this, but he said, apparently he felt I held him accountable in interviews. And all I was really doing was asking what the next step is for a player who is constantly trying to figure out and apply himself to the next step. So that wasn't too profound from my point of view, but he appreciated me always asking what was next for him. And I, you know, wanted to know what he was going to do to get better or what he was going to do to prosper in another area of the game and in his life. So it just kind of happened, Bart, but it's been wonderful.
You're getting so close here to capping your career off and then capping it off with a team that could possibly win the Larry O'Brien for the first time since 1971. This is kind of like their third run in a row at it where they got a legitimate shot. Do you see this year providing, is this like the toughest year for them? Do you see this year providing more challenges? I mean, I think that the other teams in the East, you can look at Philly, you can look at what the Nets have. Now they got to all play together, but you can look at what they have. Is this year going to be the toughest test for them of the last three?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, to what degree it would be or is, but I would say probably. Toronto was pretty good 2 years ago, and of course Miami made it to the finals. So, you know, the last two teams to knock the Bucks out of the playoffs reached the finals, so that's pretty tough, right? But yes, this team has some work ahead of it. They have some tough opponents ahead of it, but I'm starting to feel that maybe it could, you know, coalesce into a really good finish here, but we'll see. There's a lot of things that are going to take place between now and the 22nd of July, and it would be wonderful. I do think that the pieces have been put in place. The front office has provided the talent, the players, and the chemistry, I believe. And then the coaching staff, to me, has done a wonderful job this year preparing them for a lot of different scenarios that they are likely to see in the playoffs, and we've watched that all year. So I feel good about it, but we have to wait and see, and that's the beauty of sport.
Your Twitter handle is Pashketball. I think that's the most ingenious thing that I've ever heard. When you first heard someone say Pashketball, were you like blown away? I just can't get over it.
Matt Gritschmacher was a Bucks fan who sent me a note, and he was suggesting that I use that as my blog title. And I thought, my goodness. Yeah, it never occurred to me, and here we are, and I've had people at the league say the same thing you just said. They said, that's pretty good. I go, well, you know, people ask me if I've copyrighted it. Can you copyright your name? I mean, I don't know. But, yes, I saw it, and I went, wow, what's wrong with me that I didn't think about
it? I know.
But Matt Gritschmacher came up with that, and I will always be indebted for his contribution to my career. I'll have to keep that, and we'll see what happens with it. But you're right. I mean, that was amazing.
That's right. I mean, I'm so glad that you came on today. That's really the one thing I wanted to ask you was about basketball. And you better remember that kid's name if this guy comes up with that. I love that you remember that guy's name. Jim, have a great, you know, however long it is, you know, we don't know how long the first round series will go, but this run has been incredible. You've been a part of so many people's lives. I'm just I'm happy and lucky to chat with you every, you know, occasion that I get to. So keep up the good work for as long as you're doing it. Enjoy retirement. Don't completely disappear from us. And as always, Jim, just thanks for a couple of minutes.
Well, thank you, Bart. My pleasure always. It's been great to be with you. My line is I'll be around, but I won't hang around. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the first round, I don't want it to go 6 or 7 for my purposes. I want it to go 4 so that the guys can get some rest and get ready for what's coming in round 2. So, you know, maybe I'm down to, let's hope I'm down to 7 games.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll be watching you tonight. Jim, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Jim Paschke joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Always great to talk to Jim. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com, greatmidwestbank.com. Jim Paschke, what a guy. I'm telling you, he appears nice, and then you meet him, and he is nice. So it's great to talk to Jim, and always just a thrill to join us. Paschkeball, nothing better. I did see something yesterday that really bums me out. I'll bring it up here. And really, it was only a matter of time, probably before this happened. But one thing that I've been doing after work for the last couple of months, I think a lot of people have been doing it. I reignited my trading card habit. And I've talked about that on the show a bunch. You know, trading cards, you pick up the quarter pack of trading cards when you were a kid. And I was a kid during the wax pack era. So I had all these 89 tops and 90 score and 91 Fleer. And I'm thinking these are going to be worth so much money one day. I've got a Mark McGwire rookie. I've got a Jose Canseco rookie. You know who else did? Everyone. Because the cards were available everywhere. And so trading card companies now are like, well, we can't produce that many cards. They got to be worth something. But also they're not producing as many cards. I mean, the commons are out there, but then there's more like that you can chase and there's more of the inserts. And people have realized that they can make money off of it now. It's not buy a card like my dad's like, hopefully someday, son, you'll be able to sell these. Well, I did, and we barely got our money back if you look at it. The ROI was not that great. But now people are buying cards and they're like immediately flipping them. Unopened boxes of cards that they find at Target. So Target, Walmart, the Myers, they've had to say, all right, we'll sell these cards, but it's one per person and we're going to release them at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning and you can get in line and then we'll have the rest of the inventory the rest of the week, but you can only pick up one and then you go from there. Well, that even caused some problems. There was in Brookfield at Target last week, a little fight in a parking lot, which made headlines. I mean, you're getting fights happen. Weapons are being drawn over cards. So the stores are like, we don't want to deal with this. Target was one. Somebody tweeted this out yesterday, and I believe it is a company-wide thing, but Target was a company, and I think the others will follow if they haven't yet. These big box stores are just, it's not worth the hassle for them. They are not going to continue to sell these because too many people are coming in. And it's just, it's unfortunate that we've gotten to this point, Sam.
Oh, it's so unfortunate because I remember as a kid, man, if my dad and I were like, you know, going to Walmart or Target or whatever, yeah, we were thankful to have a sports card shop a couple blocks down the street or whatever, but that's not the case for most of these kids. And it's a great way for kids to get into sports. It's how I, you know, learned about all these players and got into sports myself. So it's just unfortunate because it's becoming a lot like the retail and resale shoe game and all that. You know, with Jordans and all that, is like somebody sold a pair for so much and now everybody wants to try to buy that pair and flip it for that much money. And, you know, I think it's cool to see athletes starting to get into the game like AJ Dillon and stuff like that. He has his own Instagram page just selling. But he's now doing the same thing now where he's picking up boxes of like top series one and all that. And he's just selling the boxes without even opening them. So it's like we need to remember that it's like it's a way for people to get into the game and love sports, and it's not just something to like make a lot of money off of. Granted, I do it now, but it's like at the same time, I've been doing this since I was 6 years old. It's a little different.
Well, I don't really, I mean, I sold some, name that card, some old ones with Rick over there who I've talked to on the show a few times, but mostly I like to collect them.
Yeah.
And I've got all these guys that I had. I've got pages of guys that I collected when I was a kid, whether it's Oral Hershiser or Wade Boggs or What I actually like is finding some of the older packs, reopening those rather than chasing the new ones and just adding to my collection. But even those are getting harder to find because those are getting flipped. Anything that is a trading card is getting flipped. So it's just, it's a bummer for the people that actually like to do the collecting rather than the investing or the hustle part of it. So that's, it seems like this week is the last week that these stores are going to have these cards available. I guess you go online or, I mean, card shops still obviously exist, but it's just a bummer that it got to this point for some of those other stores. And I don't blame them. I mean, why? It's not a hassle that they need to deal with. We are, like, if I'm Target, yo, I'm Target.
Yeah.
You've got your groceries here. You've got your bath essentials. You know, oh, everyone jokes. My wife wants to go to Target. She wants one thing. She needs 100. That's Target. Target's not come in here and war for Topps trading cards.
They don't need that. Part of it, a big thing is it's partly on the manufacturers too, like Topps and Panini. I remember back in the day, like I said, when I was a kid, like if you went to, there was a thing like retail packs and retail boxes, and there's hobby boxes and all that. Hobby boxes, you'd get crazier hits and stuff like that. But the past couple of years, they've been really loading up these retail boxes with really good hits. Like I pulled a Bryce Harper auto from Target. I never could have gotten that.
Nice.
10, 12 years ago and stuff like that. So that's the thing too, is they're making these retail stuff a lot more, you know, worth the money, I guess.
Just insane times all the way around. Bummer to see. Again, if you like collecting, it sucks. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Rom Dog, Rami Makhlouf going to join us next. Pat Baldwin, coach, Milwaukee Panthers, 9:30 on the Fan.